This is news director Larissa Donovan, and joining me on the phone is Audrey Thayer, a city council candidate for Ward 1. Is that right?
Yes, I'm Ward 1, Bemidji City Council.
All right, fantastic. There's been a lot of candidates, so sometimes I've been slipping. But I hope I have everyone organized right. So why don't we start by why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, like your background and how long you've been in Bemidji?
Well, my name is Audrey Thayer, and I've lived in Bemidji since 1989. It's approximately 30 years. My family has attended the schools, not only Bemidji School District, but both Schoolcraft and Trek we've had children in. And I have 8 children that I've raised, and they work and live, most all of them, or attend school at BSU in the Bemidji area. So my background is I have a wonderful father who's passed on, who was first generation German, and my mom was from the White Earth Indian Reservation, which is just west of here. So I had a very strong cultural orientation in a good way from having two very distinct cultures in my family system as I was raised. My work experience in the community, I moved to Bemidji in 1989 to work at the Department of Health and Human Services as a in-home family therapist for the county. And from there, I went on to U.S. Indian Health Service for the Bemidji area office, which covered three states, 33 tribes. I handled the fiscal operations of contract health care, which was health care that was that we would send out to the major hospitals in the cities for patients. So I have a very good background in fiscal management of a large organizations from three states. And then from U.S. Indian Health Service, I made a decision to commit for 10 years to the ACLU Minnesota as the Northern Director of the Greater Minnesota Racial Justice Project. At that project, we did education. We focused around constitutional issues. We elected an unelected, nonpartisan organization, raised the money to create the office, to keep the running for 10 years. We worked in a 7-county area, so I had access and a relationship with the county sheriffs, law enforcement, judges, public defenders, and defenders, in our 7 counties and circle around Bemidji. Did that for 10 years. During all that time, I was teaching as a BSU adjunct instructor in the area of social work. And in 2003, I made a decision to become a full-time instructor for the Leech Lake Tribal College, and I teach in arts and humanities, in history, and philosophy, kind of those subject students kind of like, oh, dear. And so that's what I did, am doing. And while I was at the last few years, I have been pursuing my doctorate in leadership with University of St. Thomas online, so I didn't have to, I drove down once a month, but so that I didn't have to leave the area. And I am now working on finishing my dissertation for that doctorate. My decision to run for Ward 1, Bemidji City Council, is about servant leadership, giving back, community concern, and I love people. I love community. And so I find it necessary that we are at a time and a place in right now in the city of Bemidji that we have to work at diversity, and we've had three large reservations around the city of Bemidji, Leech Lake, Red Lake, and White Earth, and numerous young families that moved to Bemidji and other families that have settled. We're on like third generation of the indigenous Americans in Bemidji, the city of Bemidji. So I have sat on all but one race relations committee in the past 30 years, all of them in the city of Bemidji. And those committees were on reconciliation, on diversity training, on education, racial justice, to have kind of a focus and an idea on how we can do what we need to do today.
That's quite a background.
Yeah, so I have a little experience, but I also have a strong fiscal background, which also helps. So I bring consistency, experience, and a commitment to Ward 1 in the city of Bemidji. And we have a really colorful ward. There's BSU scholars that are getting their education who will be our future leaders in this community and other communities. We have longtime residents who have settled in this ward, who have their homes and they've been here for more than one generation. And we have indigenous Americans in the black community in our district. So it's a very unique ward, and that's exciting to me.
Yeah, I'm also a Ward 1 resident, too. I find it very exciting.
It is. Well, we have, and we have challenges.
Yeah.
You know, there's some, you know, we have, you know, I have cameras at my house here.
Right.
You know, because we have challenges that we can get through in this city and in Ward 1. I just believe that. Knowing and having a close relationship with the Indian community, when there's someone walking down the street, in most cases I know the family system and who they are. How to deal with them if they're in mental health challenges, that is something that we need to talk about and bring it to the table. What do we do in the city of Bemidji so our families and our community and our students and are feeling safe? So we don't have to worry about if we park our bike in the front yard, it'll disappear. That'll remain there. So there's some work we have to do in those areas. And I can identify, and I've worked with the homeless population for 10 years with the People's Church and supported Reed and his work. With the Wolf Center, I've supported that project. And I'm very concerned about those are some of our human challenges in our community. Safe community.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the city issues is that we have some big ticket projects in Bemidji. Big ticket. We have sewer issues. We have water issues. We have one well left out of five, and we're waiting on the bonding bill of $12.3 million that's been introduced, that's sitting down there when they get back in session. And I'm hoping that request from the city of Bemidji will get honored in that in the bonding activity down there, and we get our 12.3. That would basically take care of what's going on with our water. The city just passed phase one about $7 million, to start working towards getting the well and the wells and the water up to snuff. We have, the state health standards on those wells that we have to follow in the city. And so when you look at the needs, I get concerned because I'm about clean water. I believe that that's important. I think everybody feels that way. But we're such a prosperous, growing city. We really, truly are. So we're dealing with...
bit of growing pains, huh?
Oh, my gosh. We have to, and so that the next big project, is the sewer system. We have to take a look at what has to be done with, expansion of the city sewer system. And I know that the city is coming to a 5-year discharge permit is upcoming. And so that has to be, when that comes out, signed off, the city has to respond to that. We're also dealing with our storm water treatment in the city and taking a look at that. So so let's talk about the railroad corridor project.
Sure.
Which has been kind of like sitting in the back burner because we did not expect COVID. We've had the projects of the water, the sewer system, looking at the storm water treatment. And it is important to know that that corridor, there was a lot of money spent there.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in St. Paul Port Authority. They did a huge market study. And I'm not sure how familiar you are with Minneapolis, but the north end of Minneapolis, they renovated that area by utilizing the spaces like the railroad corridor. So when you think about that area, you heard about development. There was discussion about development, future discussion, and controversies about overpriced housing. I'm looking at, when I think about North End, it's many young under 35-year-olds who have apartments, and they can come down and eat in the local restaurants that are North End and little shops, and there's a Whole Foods market. I can see that happening for the railroad corridor. Obviously, the study took a lot of money. They had to look at the soil. They had to look at the cultural imprint of the Anishinaabe people in that area. And then what kind of market development can we do? It's not a space for commercial development. It's definitely got to be created, I believe, in hopes to attract in a community that we could thrive as a popular place to go on a Friday night. Go down and eat one of the great local businesses and food spaces down there, or hear a good band down at Bridget's. You think about the dreams of that, and it is a huge endeavor. And to have good residential housing that we can all use, that is so important. So with the cultural imprint there, that also is a huge concern, how we incorporate the indigenous community. Wow, we could become a cultural mecca down there, with educational opportunity and historical recognition. I was on the Chief Bemidji committee for that statue that sits down there. I sat on the committee of Sanford Center on the beautiful floor in that building. So let me talk about Sanford Center.
Okay.
When we look at Sanford Center, we're in deficit every year about $500 million. That is not bad when you look at a cross-section of huge endeavors. I don't want to go there in the past and say, we should have never built this thing. It's here.
Right. And I think it's probably $100,000 deficit, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Pardon?
I think it's a $500,000 deficit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
No worries.
That's after though, the property tax that pays in, the venue market of venues, BSU paying $200,000, Sanford's naming rights of $200,000, promotional activities that go on there. So an annual, it's about $3 million. But we come short about $500,000. And, and we haven't talked about capital replacement costs either. So
right,
you can see
right.
So I definitely look at, have a wise eye to the cost for the city when we encompass some of those big items, okay? But there's some other things. When we look at Little Senior Citizen Center downtown, you go down there, they're great stewards of the community, not utilized by all cultures at the Senior Citizen Center. It needs to be renovated. It needs replaced. Maybe, we need to look at what can we do differently there. A day center. I would feel comfortable knowing that the people that I see walking the streets and have no place to sleep and then get into the Wolf Center or the People's Church, or, during COVID, we had the Super 8 Annex. But knowing that there was a day center so that they would have a place to eat, to stay, to read, that way they're also not hanging out in our public library. Good people. By the way, if you ever want to know the most about Bemidji and have an academic conversation, you'll get it from a homeless person because they read all day in that Bemidji Public Library and they're on the computers. I'm not suggesting that we don't have problems.
Right.
Because, what I'm suggesting is that there's ways for us to do things differently. So I've been out walking, door knocking in Ward 1, and you know some of the big issues right now for the everyday issues. Oh, sometimes the noise ordinance isn't followed. So how can we do that and bridge communities so that you know, when we are having a good Friday night and we've had too many tests, our scholars know that, you know, when it gets a little later, we have a noise ordinance and be good stewards. We can do that. One of the thoughts was about the sidewalks for the handicapped during the winter months. They're piled high. Can't walk. You're up on the streets. How do we reach the and help the handicapped families in our communities, in specifically Ward 1? They're there. So how can we create a really unique way of bridging community and helping those families and other families who have disabilities out there and cannot do that shoveling? And I've been kind of rolling this around, and it's about the handicap, because there was a woman that asked me about the handicap spots, because, you know, during COVID, we had to close, the city had to close off some of the streets for some of our local businesses to try to serve, you know, get back and save their businesses. So we were out, according to the state. We had to have them out on the outside of the restaurants till tomorrow. And so when you think about handicap spots, maybe they attempted not to eliminate them, it was still very challenging. So magic wand, I would love to see handicap spots encourage. Once the individuals I spoke with of two handicap, you know, spaces per block, because we only have one, you know. So there's so much we can do with our city if we just put it together. And maybe when we talk about our and I've heard about the high rents, and I know the college students, the scholars are piling in, four or five people. My gosh, I remember the college days.
Oh yeah.
You know, and of course, I went back for my doctorate, and I was experiencing living in the cities with a number of other individuals, you know, having for three nights and then coming home and having to, you know, shell out for very expensive housing. So that's something we definitely have to look at. How can we bring that down, but yet let the people who operate, the individuals who have the rentals, look at how to address the issues. And I'm thinking, when we're thinking about even holding the landlords accountable, if we do have stuff that's not okay in our community with our rentals. So I have to look at rental policies. I haven't had time in some of the other cities and pull them down. All right, so that talks about some of the city issues.
Yeah, I'll say.
Made
this real easy, Audrey. I barely had to do anything. So I just...
it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, a couple of questions before we are running out of time here, but I would just like to pick your brain a little bit. Recent events in the city and state have highlighted the issues of racism and distrust of the government. What would you do as a council member to improve those race relations and trust?
I have been. I've been sitting on these committees for 30 years. I'm fed up. So what am I going to do now? I'm currently on a cross-cultural diversity committee where we're educating business owners and governmental officials. We've been doing it for a year. There's a team of us, just not me. So what would I do? Well, you know, I'm looking, and I have entertained with the current chief of police and the city council. You have to have a relationship and build that with communication. I want to see a police commission, oversight commission, and we've had them, just different names, but an oversight committee to help our chief of police, not oversight our law enforcement, to help them. And I want to see that commission all under 40. I don't want to see old timers sitting on committees don't get me wrong. I just believe that we have to engage our community, and it has to be 25 to 40 year olds. They're smart. They're smarter when they're actually 10 years old. if we really look at it, it's a totally different mindset that I have. I do not believe that someone, you know, has all those answers just because we're older. I'm kind of a young 68-year-old. And I like hip-hop music, so it's even funnier. I'll go into venues with my family because we do hang around in the hip-hop community. And, you know, I almost get embarrassed because the young people move out of my way because I have white hair, and I'm thinking, don't do that. I'm just here to, you know, but it gets me to the stage closer, which is good. Anyway, so I would work with at that commission, but also engage our relationship with Leech Lake and Red Lake and White Earth. That's to be stronger. Currently, we have the county board that, Beltrami County Board that goes to the meetings at Leech Lake and Red Lake. Well, our city council has to have a relationship. And it also has to be a business relationship as well for the tribes. They need that opportunity to have businesses downtown, create that cultural mecca. And we have to have our young families, engaged in our community. So again, back kind of circling back on business, you know, we had the Northwest OIC, Talia Palmer, who now took a job with the Blanded Foundation. We're looking at, you know, that whole federal building. She had a dream there. I'd like to take that dream that Talia had and assist and mold that dream of having the offices down there, have some maybe a women's shelter. Who knows? You know. But I could, and that's another piece.
Well, one more question before I gotta let you go.
I'm sorry. I get excited.
No worries. You know, it's good to see the excitement
energy
behind city politics.
I believe in listening and action. I'm done talking. I've sat on too many racial justice and diversity committees in this city. I'll sound angry, but I'm not. I believe that I can't stand on the street corner with my signs anymore. And, of course, I was down at both rallies because I believe in direct action. But I also believe that we have to do what we say we're going to do. And I want to do that for this city. I want to walk away after 4 years and say, I did my best and in bridging community in a good way. That is truly. Okay.
All right. All right, my last question. Finally, COVID...
I'm not a politician, by the way, either.
Well, really? Well, my last question's on COVID-19.
Yes.
While many businesses are starting to reopen, you know, closer to normal, what do you think the city council's role should be in a public health emergency? And the council did take some actions on the COVID crisis. What did you like that they did, and what would you have done differently?
We were in a huge, you know, with our current governor, we were in a really push come shove. And I stayed close to the local businesses during COVID. And I tried to exercise patience and listening because it was hard. This, you know, our society is based on capitalism, right? And so our economy, our wheels don't spin unless we have money spent by people, and it wasn't happening. So what I would have done differently, wow, I'd have done a lot more education and a lot more unification because we were so divided. We still are divided. It's almost gotten political how we're divided to who has masks on and who doesn't. I don't want to see that. I have to say that I really commend the tribes, the tribal nations. They did a very good job. I would almost follow their pattern, like Leech Lake, of in community of educating, and people had access to the mass. People had understanding, you know, and now our numbers are rising, which was expected because we had to wait until we had everything in order. That just was disturbing to me when we did not have enough masks for employees at Sanford Hospital, which one of my children worked there, and don't put that in the paper. I don't like my family. She would cringe. She's 23. But she, you know, she worked there and didn't have access to masks until just recently and was there, you know, 35 hours a week cleaning, you know, and she's, you know, a nursing student at the college. Oh my gosh. I mean, there was things we had to have a stronger voice, and I know it split our community right in half. I read a lot of Bemidji Chit Chat. I don't usually go on.
Oh, my gosh.
And I listened and watched. And, you know, so I think that Bemidji did really well. What were we at, 23 or 22 cases right now?
21 cases as of this morning, as I recall.
Okay, 21. So we've done something well. This is a tight community, and I think we've done really well. And the tribes did really good in educating and keeping masks on. And, you know, the frustrations of people saying they were coming into shop and people did not have masks on, that was frustrating. So I probably would have been a stronger local education and a lot more business meetings. I spent a lot more money than I've ever spent eating takeout because I didn't know what else to do. I mean, what do? They need to keep, I didn't want our local businesses downtown to fail. That's going to be our cultural mecca down there. We don't want the people just losing everything that they've worked so hard for. So you can tell I had empathy for that, even though, you know, capitalism isn't my most popular thing. I like sustainable living, and you know, I grow my food in my backyard, and but I listened close because that's their livelihood. So education, I've probably done a lot more on education. Does that help?
That's perfect. All right. Thank you so much, Audrey Thayer.
I can't wait to see how you write this up.
I'm radio. This is an interview.
Oh.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Audrey Thayer, for Ward 1.